It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. 2016 is the centennial year of the Pulitzer Prize, and we'll spend some time this year with past winners who are connected to Georgia. It's a new series that we call Pulitzer Peaches. The first Southern newspaper to win the Pulitzer Prize for public service was the Columbus Inquirer Sun. It was 1926. That award recognizes the work of the paper's publishers, Julian and Julia Harris. They wrote about the Scopes Monkey Trial, and they also investigated Ku Klux Klan activities in local government. Greg Lisby joins me now. He's chair of the Communication Department at Georgia State University. Hi, Greg.
Good morning.
How did you get involved in studying Julian and Julia and their Pulitzer?
Well, it's an easy story. I grew up in Columbus, Georgia. My father was editor of the Columbus Ledger. I was a Ledger kid from way back. And the certificate for the Ledger's Pulitzer Prize was always on the newspaper walls. And one day my dad asked me, he says, did you realize that the Inquirer, the morning paper, also won the Pulitzer? And I did not. And I was right at that age of being in school and wanting to do some research. And I thought, what a great idea for a research project. And there it was.
Well, these two people, Julian and Julia Harris, were kind of characters in and of their own. I mean, Julian's dad, very famous, was Joel Chandler Harris, who wrote the Uncle Remus stories.
Yes.
And you say that Julian never quite escaped that shadow of his very famous dad.
Well, Julian himself provided that metaphor in his autobiography that he started and never finished. He talked about how the old adage was that sons never quite surpass the fame of their famous fathers. And the two examples he used were from history. One was Pliny the Elder and Pliny the Younger from the Roman Empire era. And the second was William Pitt the Elder and William Pitt the Younger from British history, both of whom served as prime ministers. And his point was that he didn't think, at least he understood it, that he would never quite reach that. And the other example, the other comparison point he was Henry Grady Jr. And so Henry Grady Jr.'s father was a famous journalist. Julian's father was a famous journalist. And the question was, would Julian ever surpass that? Julian himself acknowledged he spent most of his life trying. And yet, when he retired, the New York Times mentioned in its story about his retirement and subsequently in his obituary that, first off, he was the son of Joel Chandler Harris, and second, that he was an award-winning journalist.
So you have described this paper, the Columbus Inquirer Sun, as a working man's paper. What does that mean?
A working man's paper basically reminds us that in the 1920s, Columbus, Georgia really was not an overly progressive town. It was a mill town. Most of its workers worked in the mill. Some of them worked in Fort Benning, of course, but most of it was a very small Georgia cotton mill town. And so when you think about that, the audience for those types of publications were people who got up early, went to work much earlier, and so the Inquirer Sun really had a harder time aiming at that group. The Inquirer Sun also, because it was a morning paper, and this was just after World War I, where we find that the interesting news of Europe was 6 hours ahead, and so the Columbus Ledger had a better shot at getting the day's news from the war than the Inquirer did. And the Inquirer found itself in an uphill fight to get subscribers to follow its progressive line of thinking.
And when we talk about progressive, there was originally the coverage of the Scopes Monkey Trial. This is not news that they broke. There were lots of newspapers covering that. That was the trial in which they tried to fine and fire a teacher because he was teaching evolution. But the Columbus Inquirer Sun didn't really give a lot of credence to that anti-evolution position. That's fair, right?
That's fair. Not a bit of credence whatsoever. As a matter of fact, that particular fight was largely led by Julia. She was the one of the two of them who took more of an active role in what religion meant to them and what faith meant to her. And she was of the opinion that too many preachers from pulpits had uttered too many bigoted things, that she never really considered herself to be a church-going person. She considered herself to be religious and a faithful person, but not a church-going person. And that's what attracted her to the Scopes Monkey Trial because, again, at least history tells us that it was all sort of a much ado about nothing type of thing where John Scopes volunteered that he must have taught evolution at some point. And so, therefore, it's almost like he had to have been prosecuted. The ACLU had to step in and help defend him. And Henry Mencken had to be the defender, the defense attorney. And then William Jennings Bryan had to join the prosecution team. It was a big show. And it really was a fancy show. It was incredible. And you're correct, of course, that many newspapers were there. The Harris's were the only paper from Columbus represented, with the sole exception of one reporter from the Atlanta Georgian who did some feature pieces. But the Harris's went up there and stayed the entire time, and Julian wrote news, and Julia wrote commentary, and they just sort of flooded the local paper with it.
So that was one thing that the Pulitzer Committee mentioned into why they were getting the Public Service Award. I want to read what they said. For the service, in terms of what they're why they won the award. For the service which it rendered in its brave and energetic fight against the Ku Klux Klan, against the enactment of a law barring the teaching of evolution that would have been the Scopes Monkey Trial, and against dishonest and incompetent public officials, and for justice to the Negro and against lynching, which was the lynching coverage was in some ways connected to their coverage of the Ku Klux Klan.
Certainly it was.
Yeah, so let's talk about the KKK and how they landed on that story.
Well, by the way, the KKK story part of this had actually mostly taken place prior to the year for which they are acknowledged for the Pulitzer Prize. The 1926 Pulitzer Prize is given for activities in 1925. And in 1925, the Harris's didn't do all that much. When the Harris's came to Columbus in 1920, they and Thomas Loyalist, who was the co-owner of the paper at the time, they were all over the Klan. They took the Klan to task every time, every chance they had. But by about 1924, after the newspaper revealed that the governor, Governor Walker, who was the
mayor of Atlanta, William Walker, yeah.
Yes, who gave a speech at the Klan convention, once they revealed that and once he sort of forced other state government officials to acknowledge that they were also Klansmen.
So this is a really interesting story because it sounds like they followed him, maybe. He said he was going to something, and he really was going to this Ku Klux Klan convention. Did they follow him?
No. They used the newspaper close by. They used the Kansas City newspaper to investigate, you know, and then the Kansas City newspaper they couldn't get in, of course, but they gave the speech, and the speech used the phrase that the governor was very well known for using, and so they then went to the governor's appointment secretary to find out where he had been, and it turned out he had not been in Pennsylvania, that he had not been where he said he was, and they just traveled, they tracked his travels.
And it became so scandalous that he actually named a whole bunch of other public officials in order to take the attention off himself.
It sure was, exactly. Exactly.
So it blew up. Okay, we are speaking with Greg Lisby. He is the chair of the Communication Department at Georgia State University, and we're talking about the first Pulitzer Prize for public service that was given to the Columbus Inquirer-Sun in 1926. Let's bring in someone who can explain about that particular prize, the one for public service. Jennifer Barry Hawes recently wrote about this for the Columbia Journalism Review. She is a watchdog and public service reporter at the Post and Courier in Charleston, South Carolina. Hi there, Jennifer.
Good morning.
So the Pulitzer Committee gives 14 prizes every year for journalism. What makes this Public Service Award different, Jennifer?
Well, the Public Service Prize is really, among journalists, considered to be the sort of the top prize. And I think it's because the idea of public service is so central to what we do and it's central to what we should be doing that it's elevated in that regard. And I think that the prizes throughout history, and particularly regarding the KKK coverage, the Pulitzer Board has used those prizes, I think, to really give journalists a sense of what they should be doing and what real public service looks like. And the other prizes also being important, of course, but I think that element of public service is just so central to everything that we should be doing that it kind of sits on the top of the heap.
Now, this is not the first. The 1926 was not the first time a Pulitzer had gone to a paper for its coverage of the KKK. A paper in Memphis got it earlier, and it was not the last either. Why did the Pulitzer Committee focus so much attention on coverage and investigation of the KKK?
Well, I thought it was interesting. I did not realize myself until I worked on that story that, in fact, the board awarded four gold medals for public service alone in the 1920s, which was really the first full decade the prizes were given. So if you imagine four selections on any topic would be pretty incredible. And so the fact that they gave them to the KKK coverage, I think, is significant. The one interesting point I might add is that the first of those was given in 1922 to the New York World, which was a Joseph Pulitzer newspaper. The World ran a huge I think it was a 21-day expose on the Klan that then ran in newspapers across the country. Not as many in the South, but really did elevate the Klan to Klan coverage to a certain level. I think most people didn't realize it had been enjoying such a resurgence and inflicting a lot of harm in communities where it had taken hold. The four that were given in the at the time, Memphis also received one, Columbus received one, and then the other one was the Indianapolis Times, which obviously was the northern newspaper. But the emphasis on KKK coverage, I think, was a way for the board to show what Joseph Pulitzer's ideals really were and what he wanted to see coming out of journalists and what he wanted to see become really foundational to what we were doing. Because if you think about it, back in the 20s, there really was not a sense of journalism as a public service enterprise.
Yeah, it was the era of yellow journalism.
Mm-hmm. And Pulitzer himself had been obviously very involved in yellow journalism as he engaged in his battles with William Randolph Hearst. And I think that when he created the prizes, he really wanted to get away from that. He wanted to leave a legacy that went beyond his notoriety as yellow journalist.
Yellow journalism is biased journalism meant to sway public opinion or bring about policy. Greg, one of the things that Jennifer writes about is how people that were covering the KKK, that ended up resulting in a lot of personal sacrifice. It was an act of bravery to do so. And although they were very proud of the award, Julian and Julia Harris did not reap a huge number of benefits from winning the Pulitzer, correct?
Well, they did not receive increased circulation. The circulation was, one of the writers described it as a kaleidoscope. It went up and down and up and down. Their notoriety was great in the North, but it was terrible in the South. They were hated by large measures of Southern readers and other Southern editors at that particular time. They also were having money trouble because they couldn't get advertising, they couldn't get circulation. And there's a letter that I thought was really an interesting one where someone wrote them congratulating them on the Pulitzer Prize, but said that instead of the gold medal, that they wished they had attached a $2,000 check for Julian. That would have helped some, because finally they did have to sell the newspaper in 1929.
Did the notoriety that Greg mentioned of the Pulitzer help the other papers that won this particular award?
Not in those early days. Back then, the prizes were really a very new and somewhat unknown commodity, so I don't think that it provided much strength or benefit to those papers right away. I think that was something that built over time, so that today, obviously, it does. But back then, the prizes didn't carry the kind of weight that they carry today. And unfortunately, as you mentioned earlier, the KKK coverage had such a negative effect on circulation and other issues with these newspapers that it was really a net loss in that regard. Obviously, it was a tremendous gain for the public good, but for those newspaper publishers in particular, they did this at tremendous financial risk and personal risk as well. I think it's worth noting that they really put themselves in positions of potential physical harm. And in fact, one of the newspapers in the 50s that won, that editor, or publisher rather, I think he received something like 1,000 death threats. And his son was asking him, is the Klan going to kill you, Daddy? And those sorts of things that I think, while the financial risks were great, it obviously takes a certain degree of courage to come out in a community where you know the power structure is infiltrated by people who are going to be very angry about what you're writing.
So the Pulitzer, although, as you mentioned, they had a banner of it in the newspaper at the Columbus Sun, Inquirer Sun.
A certificate on the wall, yes.
Oh, they had the certificate on the wall.
Yes.
Did Julia and Julian continue to think of that as a good thing? Or they eventually had to sell out, and you talked about his retirement.
Well, basically, someone asked Julia that question after her husband had died, and her response was that she felt like it only encouraged their enemies, and that, all in all, she did not see a great benefit to come out of that. But again, you need to realize that she comes at it from the standpoint of someone who is fighting equally alongside her husband, and has fought if not a losing battle, certainly a losing battle at that time. In hindsight, of course, we look back and we say, what a great couple, what a great crusade they engaged in. And yet at that time, Columbus was not happy with him. He should have had the great opportunity to be the perfect Southern journalist because his father was the perfect entree into Southern journalism, and he was not. He was hated.
So before we wrap up this conversation, Jennifer, the papers that won, especially for KKK coverage, they were largely Southern newspapers, right?
Well, early on it was about 50-50 because it was New York and Indianapolis and then also Memphis and Columbus, Georgia. Later in the 50s, there was a shared prize between two newspapers that sat on either side of the North Carolina-South Carolina border. But prior to that, in the 20s, it was 50-50.
So did it accomplish what Pulitzer wanted it to accomplish? Did it encourage more investigative journalism?
Oh, I think so. And when Pulitzer retired from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, he gave a retirement speech that really sums up that was a century ago, what we today as journalists really consider the core of what we do. He talked about things like not tolerating injustice or corruption, never lacking sympathy for the poor, never being afraid to attack wrong. I really emphasized challenging the power structures in your communities,
yeah.
And we look at that today, a century later. So I feel like
the goal was
accomplished. Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Berry Hawes is watchdog and public service reporter at the Post and Courier in Charleston, South Carolina. And Greg Lisby is chair of the communication department at Georgia State University. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This conversation is part of Pulitzer Peaches. It's a series that celebrates 100 years of the Pulitzer Prizes and winners from Georgia. You can catch the entire series at gpbnews.org.